Bibles this morning to, it is still morning, yes, to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. I'm going to read a lot of Bible this morning. This is one of those chapters that gets a lot of attention by the prophetic teachers, and a great deal of space is devoted to Revelation 17, also in the commentaries. And unfortunately, just about everything that is preached and written about this chapter is wrong, as is usually the case. Let's read this. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 1, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." Verse 9, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look into this passage that's been so confused for so long. Lord, we pray that you help us to rightly divide the word of truth, to rightly interpret today, because, Lord, we see that you've already done the work for us right here in this chapter. We're grateful for that, for removing all confusion. And we pray, Lord, you just help us to be attentive to your truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now from Revelation 17, verse 1 through 19, verse 1 through 18, in verse 10 we have, there's an echo, we have three visits. They are marked off by two uses of the phrase, and after these things. We read chapter 17, and the Bible says in Revelation 18, verse 1, after these things I saw. Okay, so vision 1 is Revelation chapter 17. It's the vision of the woman and the beast. And then the second vision is Revelation 18, verses 1 to 24. That is the revelation of the city and its fall. And then in Revelation 19, verse 1, again, the Bible says, and after these things. And so from chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, there you have the hallelujah chorus and the marriage of the Lamb. And it's important we mark these divisions. No one that I have read suggests that Revelation 19, the hallelujah chorus and the marriage of the Lamb, is part of chapter 18, the destruction of the city. They make a clear separation there because it's marked off by that dividing line that says, and after these things. Okay, that's a clear dividing line. I hope you see that. That is, the events of Revelation 19, verses 1 to 10, they don't take place until after the destruction of the city that's recorded in chapter 18. Okay, they don't have a problem there. And yet, strangely enough, the commentators, without exception, say that Revelation 17 and Revelation 18 are two looks at the same event. Two looks at the same object. And yet the Bible says in Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, and after these things, in reference to the material in chapter 17. After these things that we just talked about in chapter 17, then this happens. Okay, so obviously we're dealing with a chronological presentation of Mystery Babylon, the city of Babylon after that, and the hallelujah chorus and the marriage of the Lamb in that order. We're dealing with, in Revelation 17, the final destruction of the system of religion that has plagued this earth since the dawn of time. In Revelation 18, we're dealing with the final destruction of the commercial and mercantile system that has plagued this earth since the dawn of time. You have a beast and a false prophet. You have a religious leader and a political leader. They're not the same individual, though they do work very often hand in hand. And so in chapter 17, you have a religious system. In chapter 18, you have an economic system. And the two are not the same, though they have often worked hand in hand. Okay? Now, Revelation 17 could be divided as follows, and I put this in your handouts there. Verses 1 through 6, the system exposed. Verses 7 to 15, the secret explained. The secret explained. And verses 16 to 18, the system exterminated. The system exterminated. Now, Revelation 17, though, it's one of the greatest places for preachers to go to in order to teach people how to rightly and properly study the Bible. Our position and our belief is the Bible means what it says. It doesn't mean what it means. It means what it says, okay? The Bible does not stand in need of interpretation. It stands in need of exposition, okay? God simply wants us to declare what the Bible says. He doesn't want us to teach what the Bible intends. And in Revelation 17, you see the classic case of the way in which the Bible interprets the Bible. Now, let me give you an example of what we're dealing with. And I can't really address this matter until a little bit later, if we're still here. But conservative and fundamental commentators in America fall all over themselves in their attempts to prove that the mother of harlots in Revelation 17 is the Roman Catholic Church. Well, there are at least 18 reasons in this chapter why the woman of this chapter cannot be the Roman Catholic Church. Primarily because the chapter does not identify the woman as the Roman Catholic Church. Though the chapter identifies the woman in no uncertain terms. She is identified, but not as the Roman Catholic Church. Now, because I just said that, some of you plugged your ears already. You're not going to hear another word I say because you're already racing through your minds to the defense of some teacher or preacher to whom you have a certain loyalty. Well, I'm going to show you from this chapter. Listen, the Bible says this mother of harlots is responsible for the blood of all the martyrs of Jesus on the face of the earth. And I'm telling you, the Roman Catholic Church did not kill them in Cambodia. And the Roman Catholic Church did not kill them in Siberia. And the Roman Catholic Church did not kill them in Angola. And the Roman Catholic Church, by the way, it wasn't even around when Stephen was stoned. Did you ever think of that? And when James, the brother of John, was killed by Herod. And when the church at Smyrna suffered persecution unto death. And we'll go into all of that in more detail in another lesson. But what I want you to understand is you can't run into any chapter of the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says, however, this is what it means. Because once you say, well, this is what I think it means, then the Jehovah's Witness can say, I think this is what it means. And the Seventh-day Adventist can say, well, I think this is what it means. And you end up with an argument that no one can win. Because once you enter the realm of I think, everybody can believe what they think. And everybody's thinking is just as valid as anybody else's thinking. But if we stand on the solid ground of this is what the Bible says, then we'll be safe. Increasingly, I'm trying to get away from using the word rapture, okay, because it's not in the Bible. I'm trying to use terms instead like catching away. That's in the Bible. I'm trying to use the term translation of the saints. That's in the Bible. I'm trying to use the coming of the Lord in the air for his New Testament church so that why do I think that's important to do that? So people won't find fault with a phrase or with a term that can't be supported by the Bible. Now, look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 17, verse number 1. The middle of the verse, this angel says, come hither, I will show unto thee. Up until this time, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, was a mystery. But every mystery in the Bible is shown to the reader and the student of the Bible. So that when you finish with the Bible, there are no mysteries. Every mystery in the Bible is solved. mystery, Babylon the Great. The angel says, I'm going to show you what this thing is all about. Look in verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. You see that? Okay. Now, if what you teach or believe, or what I teach or believe about the mother of harlots in Revelation 17 is not stated in verses 6 through 18, then it's not right. Because the angel told John, I'm going to tell you what that mystery is. So it's not going to be a mystery. It's right here in the chapter. Okay? Now, it's sad that men have made a living taking money from God's people to tell them what the Bible means, instead of producing materials that teaches them what the Bible says. You say, well, why are there so many denominations? Why are there so many different groups? How come there's all these factions that don't seem to be able to get along with each other? Because everybody is standing on what Brother so-and-so believes, or what Reverend so-and-so teaches. And don't kid yourself. The people who are students of Dr. Ruckman, they're the same way. If you meet them for the first time, and this has been proven, I'm not just saying so, they want to know, what do you think of Dr. Ruckman? Instead of, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Okay? And if you don't hold Dr. Ruckman in the highest regard, they'll get real defensive, and then they'll avoid you like you're some kind of a heretic. Well, what do you think about Jack Hiles? Well, personally, I haven't thought about Jack Hiles in over 2 months. What do you think about Jesus Christ? It never fails. You meet a Christian for the first time, they start naming their favorite Christian celebrity. Why? Because they'll fellowship with you if you worship and adore the men that they worship and adore. But if you just love Jesus and you try to go by the Bible, they don't want to talk to you. They want to talk about a man's teaching. They want to exclude you from fellowship if you don't agree with that man's teaching. And brothers and sisters, we've got to get beyond that. That's that little clicky stuff that you see in kindergarten classes. That's that little, I'm not talking to you because you talked to her in the lunchroom. I saw you. Well, yeah, but don't you like me? Doesn't matter. You like her, so I don't like you. And listen, I've got books in my library by the men that I mentioned, and I've got books by some men I wouldn't follow in the dark if they had the only flashlight. The key is to read those books, and if you get only one or two things out of them that'll help you, okay, get what you can and reject what does not line up with the Bible. And if that man is trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior, he'll be in heaven, and I'll see him when I get there. Now, see, what I'm saying is I've learned some things from charismatic preachers. Now, I'm not charismatic. I'm not going to a charismatic church. I don't listen to them unless there's no other choice, depending on my surroundings, you know. But listen, if you're going to go out in town, and if you go out there and you say, bless God, are you saved? And they say, well, yes, I'm saved. Well, what do you think about Brother Bob? Well, I don't like him. I think he's a real stinker. Well, then I'm not fellowshipping with you. Well, if your fellowship revolves around Brother Bob, pretty soon the things that thing is going to prove to be the stinker that it is. But if your fellowship revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to work. It's going to last. So all I ask again, as we enter into these chapters, is just stay with it. Don't give up too soon. Let's go through the whole thing here. Let's not reject something that the Bible says in order to defend something that a favorite author wrote. Okay, that's all. Now let me show you how this thing works here. Look in verse number 1. John saw, in verse number 1, the great whore. In verse number 3, I saw a woman. So what did John see? He saw the great whore, and he saw a woman. Okay, look down in verse 18. Let's see what the angel says. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. You don't have to decide what you think the woman means. God told you what the woman is. The woman is that great city. Verse number one, where did John see the woman? I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Where is the woman? She's upon many waters. Look at verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So do you see how the Bible interprets the Bible? What are the waters? Well, what do you think they are? Well, what do you think they are? Well, what does he think they are? What does she think they are? And you get 10 different answers. We don't need to even get into that stuff. Verse 15 tells you exactly who we're talking about, exactly what we're talking about, and tells you exactly what woman is sitting on what waters, who the woman is, and what the waters are. The Bible interprets the Bible. Look in verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. What did John see? He saw a woman on a beast. Verse number 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. The woman that's on the beast, the angel said, the beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now in Revelation chapter 13, if you can remember that far back, we had a whole chapter there describing for us the beast that would come out of the bottomless pit. So it doesn't matter what Jack Van Impe thinks the woman is. It doesn't matter what Dave Hunt thinks the beast might be. The Bible tells you what the beast is. Look at verse 3 again. John saw seven heads. Verse 7, the beast has seven heads. Verse number 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. You say, well, that's Rome. That's Rome. No, Rome has ten hills. Doesn't have seven mountains. It has 10 hills. The commentators, they'll name seven of them. And if you do an online search, most of those sites will talk about the seven hills of Rome. But they do that so that to make Rome fit Revelation 17. Okay, it's like saying, bless God, there's seven cities in Kuwait. And you name seven of those cities. And that proves that whenever you find seven cities mentioned in the Bible, it's talking about Kuwait. You say, well, wait a minute. I looked on a map and I saw 20 other cities in Kuwait. Oh, those don't count. Why? Well, because brother so-and-so in his book said. All right, look in verse 10. And there are seven kings. There are seven kings. So according to the Bible, the seven heads are seven mountains. And then the angel tells him that the mountains are kings. So the woman is not sitting on hills. The woman is sitting on mountains. And the mountains are defined by the Bible as kings. Verse number 7, John saw not only seven heads, but 10 horns. Verse number 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom yet. Now again, whether it's Sunday school class or you end up pastoring a church somewhere, whatever the case may be, I want you to understand this is a great place to take your congregation and your students to show them how the Bible will interpret the Bible and how the Bible will define the terms used in the Bible so that there's no need for guesswork. But once you go beyond what the Bible says and begin to say, well, yes, it says mountains, yes, it says kings, but these kings are, and you name something else. Okay? You're going to fall into that trap of setting things forth as doctrine that the Bible does not say. For example, and I've given this to you before, as the years have gone by, how many different men, how many have been tried to conclusively prove that this man is the Antichrist, and this other man is the Antichrist, another one's the Antichrist. How many men have been thought to have been the Antichrist? At least 20, probably more. And all of those men, they came and they went. They're dead. They're gone. Now, the Bible says there is going to be an Antichrist. So if you and I teach, according to the Bible, there's going to be an Antichrist, nobody can argue with that. And they may not believe what the Bible says, but they sure can't say, well, you taught that, but that wasn't Bible, because it was. It was. When you say there's going to be an Antichrist, and I believe he is, and then you name Ronald Wilson Reagan, or Juan Carlos of Spain, or John Paul II, you're putting yourself in a position to discredit everything else that you ever teach. Similarly, if you make the woman the Pope, or make the woman something other than what the Bible clearly tells you she represents, you're asking for trouble. You ought to do a search on the internet, for example, for all the nations on this earth that have scarlet and purple for their colors. There's a lot of them. And then you can check the coats of arms of king after king, and province after province that has a gold cup on their coat of arms. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful that you don't find yourself standing upon the sand of opinion rather than the solid rock of what the Bible actually says. All right, now we're going to do some more Bible reading. This time, go back to Revelation chapter 12. There's another woman in this chapter, and we're going to make a comparison between this woman and the one in Revelation chapter 17. So let's read this one, the whole chapter, Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew 1/3 part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Are you remembering what we learned about this chapter? Is it refreshing you a little bit? The only reason I ask that is, isn't it a blessing to realize how much you have retained where these passages are now making sense to you? Hopefully. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. As things wind down on earth toward the end of the great tribulation, you are going to have this great contrast drawn between two women, the woman of Revelation 12 and the woman of Revelation 17. So let's do that. Let's note the contrast. First, notice one of these women is of God, and the other is of Satan. Secondly, one is clothed in heavenly garments, the sun, and light from heaven. The other is clothed in garments of earthly, sensual wealth. And you can say what you want, but ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, you can tell an awful lot about a person by the clothes that they wear. It's interesting, when the Lord showed up and dealt with fallen man, the first thing that he dealt with was their clothing and their nakedness. It'll tell a lot about you, because you send a message to the world every time you adorn yourself. One woman is of God, one woman is of Satan. One woman is characterized by a certain type of adornment. The other woman is characterized by another type of adornment. Great contrast there. Number three, the first woman has the moon, speaking of the rule of night under her feet. The other has the rule over the kings of the earth. Okay, so that is the rule of one is connected with heavenly things. The rule of the other is connected with earthly things. Number four, the first woman suffers by the dragon, who persecutes her son and drives her into the wilderness. The other woman is persecuted by 10 kings who supported her, but then turned against her. One is persecuted by her enemies. The other is persecuted by her friends. And this is a good lesson there. If you are not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you really have no friends. These kids today, they band together in these packs, these gangs. They say, Satan rules, Satan rules. We're living for the devil. We're just hanging out with all of our friends. You don't have any friends. I'm telling you, that crowd that's connected with this great whore, that crowd that is connected with that devil, they will turn on one another. and devour one another. First time things start to go wrong. Whereas that woman of Revelation 12, well, the worse things got with her or for her, the closer they cleave one to another. Okay? I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ, you've got some real friends. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Where are you going to find love? Where are you going to find friendship? Only among those who know God. What are you going to find among those who do not know God? Hatred, strife, selfishness, and all the rest of that stuff. I'm telling you, there's two women. When things go wrong, one of them finds her bonds strengthened. The other one, when things go wrong, she finds devouring and hatred and rejection. You don't have any friends if your friends are not people that love God and are living for the Lord. They're not your friends. People say, well, yeah, I would get saved, but then I'd lose my friends. Right? Anybody you lose by getting saved, they were not your friends. You would have lost them anyway as soon as your money ran out, probably. Just ask that prodigal son. He had lots of company until he ran out of cash. And when he ran out of money, he was out there in that pig pen all by himself, wasn't he? All right, number five. The first woman is hated by the great world powers. The other woman is loved by the great world powers. And that's a lesson that holds to this day. If you are like the Lord Jesus Christ, the world that hates Jesus Christ are also going to hate you. If you're like Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the world will love you and get along with you just fine. But how can you be a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil? And the world, the flesh, and the devil, they think you're just wonderful. Something's wrong there. Yeah, I'm telling you, that woman that was aligned with God, she was hated by the world. That's normal, okay? That woman that was aligned with the devil, she was loved by the world, at least for a time. At least till they had fellowship with her. At least they hung out with her. Got along with her. And then number six, one woman produces masculine nobility. Okay? The other woman produces female impurity. If you're around God's crowd, you'll find marching music. You'll find heartfelt singing. And you will find as many men in the church house as you do women. If you align yourself with that other crowd, you're going to find sensual music sung with a seductive overtone. And you're going to find a church filled with women whose husbands and sons don't want to get within 50 yards of that place. Now you just mark it down. I'm telling you, read Revelation 12. Help yourself. That woman produced a son who would rule the world. That woman in Revelation 17 produced daughters who were cheap and loose and immodest. She was the mother of harlots. And so if all the charismatic churches get together in some kind of a joint effort in the community and they don't invite your church to join them, it's because they can see that you're not the same. Those are the same churches that have the choreographed dancing girls in leotards and see-through skirts and up there on the church platform. It's sensual. It's not masculine. It's impure. It's not holy. And that's why your church would never be invited to join in, because they know we don't approve of those things. Number seven, One is helped by celestial wings. The other is helped by dragon power. It's amazing how many people accept wickedness as the norm. And if you want to go the wrong way, you can find plenty of people who will help you to go the wrong way. If you want to go the right way, you'll find plenty of people who will help you go the right way. And I just step back every now and again myself, and I'll take a look around and find out who it is that's helping me to go the direction that I'm going, whether it's the right direction or the wrong direction. Who's helping me that way? Okay, those beer ads, they'll help you if you want to go that way. There are some drinkers out there on your job that will help you if you want to go that way. There are people making and selling wine that you can find if you want to go that way. Okay, they'll call it help, but it's really not a help, see. So a man says, oh, I just can't live for God. It's just so hard living for God all by myself. You're not trying to live for God, or you wouldn't be by yourself. If you wanted to live for the Lord, you would find some people to help you go the right way. You'd find some people to fellowship with you. You'd find some people to preach to you. You'd find some people to carry you to church. If you want to go God's way, you'll find some people to help you go God's way. That woman was going one direction. She found some help. The other woman, she was going another direction. She found some help. And you just ought to take a look around and find out who it is that's helping you. What magazines are you reading? Are you reading those that are helping you to get closer to Jesus? Or are you reading ones that are helping you get closer to unsaved people and activities that don't revolve around Jesus Christ and the church? You're being helped one direction or the other. When you go home today, you're either spending your time with the family and the Savior and the Word of God, or you're spending time with the satellite and the remote control. Now, whoever you're spending time with, they're helping you to go a certain direction. You ought to examine the company that you keep. I wouldn't hang out with an NIV. It wouldn't help me toward, all that would do is help me toward compromise and an ecumenical spirit. I wouldn't hang out with a Living Bible. I don't want a Bible that with cuss words in it to teach me to cuss. I want a holy Bible. I want the one that the world can't understand. Well, I tried to read that King James Bible, but I couldn't understand it. Good, that tells me that's the right one. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto him. He can't figure it out. If you got a book that's been rewritten so that a lost man can understand spiritual things, but they're not, well, that's not God's book. Now, I'm telling you, if you want to go the right way, you'll find some help to go that way. If you want to go the wrong way, plenty of help out there to help you go the wrong way. And don't buy into this lie. Well, if God didn't want me to do it, he would just stop me. Really? Did he stop Lot's wife from turning around? Did he stop Jonah from enrolling in Whale College? Did he stop Paul from going down to Jerusalem and getting thrown in jail for the rest of his life? People go to hell. God isn't willing that any should perish. Well, if God doesn't want me to do it, he'll just stop me. Really? Well, then how come there's people in hell right now that are crying out for one drop of water? God didn't stop them. You better decide what way you're going, because whichever way you start out, you're going to have some people help you along that road. Number 8. The first woman, she has a crown of 12 stars upon her head. The other is crowned with the names of blasphemy. One is crowned with 12 stars upon her head. The other is crowned with the names of blasphemy. Sooner or later, whatever road that you're on, sooner or later, whatever side you're on, sooner or later, whatever help that you have had, you are going to be rewarded for your deeds. Sooner or later, you'll be rewarded for your deeds. The born-again believer may be rewarded in this life with temporal blessings, maybe. Maybe with souls won, that sort of thing. But he will certainly be rewarded at the judgment seat with gold and silver and precious stones. And the one who pursued the ways of the world, sooner or later, you will be rewarded with a bill of divorcement. Sooner or later, you'll be rewarded with a medical opinion from a doctor saying that you've contracted some sort of a disease. Sooner or later, you'll be awarded with a jail sentence. I'm just telling you, whatever you give your life to, whatever you devote your time to, at the end of your way, that's what you're going to find. That's where you're going to find your paycheck. Okay? It's just the way that thing goes. You reap what you sow. One woman wore a crown of 12 stars, the other, names of blasphemy. And then finally, one woman takes up her abode in the millennial kingdom with Jesus Christ. The other woman goes down to eternal ruin in hellfire. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Quite a contrast. I don't see how anyone would ever mix those two up or think that they're the same woman. If there was no heaven and no hell, I'd still want to live right, just because it's a better life and more blessed, and you've got real friends and true friends, and you get to enjoy the trip. But on top of that, there's eternity with Jesus Christ at the end of that way. Now, you can say what you want. You might like the devil. You might like the world. You might like to go that way. Maybe you don't like the restrictions and what you consider to be the interference of the Word of God and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you something. If you follow the devil, there's only one place that you're going to end up, and that's hell. That's where he ends up. If you follow the world, there's only one set of rewards that you're going to get, and that's fire and brimstone in outer darkness. You know, it would be crazy. It would be crazy for a man to get in his car, and here's this policeman. He says to the man, if you turn this way, the bridge is out. You're going to go off the bridge. You're going to go fall into a pit of fire. But if you go the other way, it'll take you right straight to your house, and there's a nice meal waiting for you there with your family and all that. Well, clearly, nobody would think there's anybody stupid enough to drive their car into that fire. Yet, look at this. God puts it right here in plain English. If you go one way, you'll end up in heaven. If you go the other way, you'll end up in hell. And every single day, more people take the road to hell than to heaven. You say, why? They just hate God. That's all it is. They just don't want to go God's way. They'd rather end up in hell than to go God's way. It's a peculiar business. Peculiar business there. Well, let me just show you a couple of things real quick from Revelation 17, and then we'll be dismissed. Verse number 1, again, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Come hither, and I will show unto thee. I think that's key to all Bible study. I think that's key to learning all truth. It's not education. It's not training. It's not background. If you will go God's way, if you will come when God says come, and when God says go, if you'll go, when God says stop, if you'll stop, if God says start, if you'll start, if you will just obey God, God will show you the truth. God will show you the truth. John didn't know anything about Mystery Babylon. John didn't know anything about the destruction of Babylon. John didn't know anything about the rejoicing in heaven and the marriage of the Lamb and the second coming. And the angel said, come here, come here. And when he came, God showed him the whole thing. God showed him the whole thing. You talk to some people, they think if they went to Bible school, they think if they got the right library, they think if they sat under the right teacher, they could somehow get knowledge of the Bible. I'm telling you, there's one way to get knowledge of the Bible, and that is to obey God. And as you walk in the light that God gives you, he will lead you into some more light. If you walk in that light, he'll give you more light. When God says come, if you'll come, he'll show you. When God says go, if you go, he'll show you. If God says stop, if you'll stop, he'll show you. If God says start, if you'll start, he'll show you. That's key to the whole thing right there. Just doing what God said to do. Now please, I know we just barely touched on this chapter today, even though we read the whole thing, but that's all I wanted to do today, is just give you that comparison of how the Bible, show you how the Bible interprets the Bible, and then compare those two women. So please, here's all I ask. When we're finished, in about maybe two more lessons, if you still want to argue with me about the Roman church, then we'll talk about it then, but not today. Okay? Give me a chance to take you through the chapter, show you the material, and I think you'll be surprised. Listen, there's something we've got to get away from, and we've been trying to all through this study of Revelation. You can't interpret the Bible in light of America or any other prosperous nation like America. If it's true in America, but it's not true in any other nation on the earth, it's not true then. Okay? And I guarantee you, there's plenty of places on this earth, if you ask them what the great religious power is that persecutes the saints and kills the Christians, they wouldn't say the Roman Catholic Church, because that is not their problem. There's something much bigger than every one of those outfits there. And it goes all the way back to the 10th chapter of Genesis. It goes all the way back to that Tower of Babel. It was around, that thing was around before any of these organized churches ever had a name put on them. And we're going to do that. We're going to go all the way back there. We're going to take a look at it, and we'll trace it right down through to the present day. And then when we're through, I hope that we'll all see the big picture. And so that's the plan. That's where we're headed. And I hope you'll have patience till we get there. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the lesson today. Help us, Lord, to have a heart, have a desire to go the Bible way, to go your way, to draw close to you and to choose the right friends, the right people to help us to stay on the right way. Help us, Lord, to love the things that you love and hate the things that you hate. Help us, Lord, to always want to please you and to be found in your will. and the things that we do. Help us to enjoy the activities that are godly activities, and to turn away from worldly things, things that we know are harming our spiritual life and maybe our families, our relationships. Lord, we want to be godly. We want to have godly relationships, and we want to join together to do your will, to do the things that you've clearly laid out for us to do, according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.